You'll go ahead and open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Or chapter 12, verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2 is what we'll be looking at this evening. We want to consider this verse and looking at this tonight just for a few moments as we look at a question and looking at what this verse says. And some people have asked questions before about this, and looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2, we want to consider a lesson titled, "What About the Three Heavens?" And looking at what this verse says, and we want to examine this tonight. Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2, he says, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows such a one was caught up to the third heaven." You know, there have been questions over this very thing. And actually, it is funny, we were just having a question was asked to me about if there is a special place for those that are condemned. But as we look here in the Bible, we see, you know, here it is mentioned of the third heaven, and we see reference to heaven. There have been particular questions over this very thing in what Paul mentions as the third heaven. Some have taken it out of context, thinking that it is something different. But we want to examine this tonight and turn it in. What people have done it have turned it into something else, and then we see where false teaching kind of comes into play. And some people believe that it is some sort of dimension, some sort of special realm in looking at, you know, there's three different types of heavens. And I want to just look at this and look at what the Bible says for a few moments tonight in answering this question. Now, I want to begin off thinking about what it is not in looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2. Because this is not, when Paul is writing here about the one that was caught up into the third heaven, this is not the different realms of heaven as some have described. I had a conversation with friends and even family members who believe that there are different degrees of heaven. Whether or not you've been so faithful, or whether, you know, you have not been as faithful, each, you know, you will see where some people believe that you can go into this certain realm of heaven and kind of work your way up into different types of rewards. But eventually, as we look at this, what it boils down to is the idea is that you can work up to the highest part of heaven in the afterlife. But this is a false teaching. If you go back to Matthew chapter 20 with me just for a moment, let's just look at a few verses here together. Matthew chapter 20. And let's consider beginning with verse 1. Matthew chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. You know, some people believe that if you've done, you know, you've kept some of the commandments, for instance, and you'll be able to go into this part of heaven, or if you've kept more or kept less, you'll go into these different parts. But let's look at Matthew chapter 20 just for a moment, and verse 1 down to verse 16. So we look at this parable. Jesus kind of explains some of this right here. He says in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 20, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. And again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said, 'Why have you been standing there here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive.' So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' And when those who came in were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner. saying, these men, these last men, have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. You know, as we think about this, just briefly, we think about this parable that Jesus taught. And he goes on to say, you know, I've got these different individuals that have worked in different times of the day. Some worked at the very beginning. Some worked at the third hour, some the sixth hour, some the ninth hour. And we get all the way up into the 11th hour. And the agreement was to be able to go into the vineyard, be able to work for a denarius a day. You know, here it is. And when it came time to pay, Jesus gave each of these individuals the same amount. He worked and pointed out, you know, here it is. I'm giving you this. You agreed to this. Jesus is offering, as we look at this, Jesus is offering eternal life. There isn't different degrees of heaven. It doesn't matter if someone has been a Christian, you know, for the majority of their life, or someone has just obeyed the gospel, we'll say this, for instance, tonight. Each are going to receive the same reward in the end, aren't they? If we are faithful to God, the hope of heaven is ours. It isn't about having, you know, Jesus pointed out, there isn't all these different types. You're going to receive the same reward in the end if you are faithful to God. There isn't multiple paradises as what some may believe. If you go over to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, let's look at verse 23. And also verse 26. Luke chapter 16, verse 23. And also verse 26. Luke chapter 16, verse 23 and verse 26. First of all, we read here about the rich man Lazarus. And we read about Lazarus. Or read about both these individuals. We read in verse 23. Being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, speaking about this rich man. He saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Verse 26, as Jesus is explaining this, he goes on to say, and besides all this, speaking about this, there is a great gulf between us that is fixed, so that you who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. There isn't multiple paradises is what some will believe and some will try to teach in the world today. We read about a place of paradise, place of comfort, place of rest. Then on the other side, we read a place of torment. You know, sometimes we see the Jews that spoke about seven heavens. Some of the teaching of Muhammad have taught about the seventh heavens. About there being seven different types of different degrees of paradise. It's absurd to believe this. But as we look, I want to just talk about these three heavens. You know, again, Paul mentions about there being about one being taken up into the third heaven. I want to talk about that just for a few moments. And let's talk about this first heaven that the Bible speaks about. You know, you look at some of the different translations, you look at what has been revealed. The first heaven that's ever revealed, that's that we look up into the heavens. We see the atmosphere, right? We see the sky. We see these different things that are mentioned. And the word there is rakia, which is a visible arch in the sky. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, you know, we see sometimes where we have some words in our vocabulary that might sound the same or be even spelling the same, but they have different meanings. We look over in Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, beginning there. It says, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Now again, we see the atmosphere that is being brought. The firmament, as we talk about this. Again, we look, thus God, verse 7, made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Then we continue on into Genesis chapter 6. If you look there, Genesis chapter 6, again, this word that's being used, this idea of the atmosphere when we talk about looking into that. We look at verse 7. It says, so the Lord God said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, and birds of the air. For I am sorry. I mean, what are we talking about? We're talking about the birds. Birds are flying. Birds of the air. We look up into the sky. We see the birds flying around. Another reference of this is found over in the book of Psalm. If you turn to Psalm 78. And in Psalm 78, we want to look at verse 23 and verse 24. Psalm 78, verse 23 and verse 24. Psalm 78, verse 23 and verse 24. It says here, yet he had commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of the heavens. He had rained down manna on them to eat and given them of the bread of heaven. Again, we see this, the visibility of this. Again, as it's recorded here, God opened up commanded the clouds to open up, to rain down manna on them to eat. Again, they look to the heavens and they see these things happening. Again, we look again, he gave them of the bread of heaven. Talking about this manna that's coming down. Well, again, this visibility that we have access to. Then another verse to consider. When we talk about the atmosphere, we look over in James chapter 5 and verse 18. James chapter 5 and verse 18, where we talk about this man Elijah. And we talk about what he had prayed for. And in James chapter 5 and verse 18. James 5 verse 18 says, and he prayed again. The heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Just like when we look. We look into the sky today and we saw the rain over the last few days. We look up into the sky. We see that this rain has come down. And again, some people will use that. They've looked up into that. Here it is. This visible atmosphere is what the Bible is pointing at. The firmament, as we made mention of earlier in Genesis. This is that first heaven is an atmosphere that is used. But as we continue on, I also want to point out what the second heaven, the second heaven that is used to describe, that the Bible uses as well. And we'll talk about the celestial. Not only do we see the rain mentioned, we look to the skies and everything, but then we kind of go a little bit further into it. Got the sun, stars, the moon, all the different things that we see in the sky. When we look at night, we see all the stars. We see the moon. Then in the morning time, we see the sun. Well, that's kind of what we think about this second, the celestial side of it. And the word shamahim rakia, which again, kind of looking into the sky again as we look at this. And the Bible has recording of this. And also, I want to share some information about this as we look. It's from an unused root word meaning to be lofty, this shamahim or shamahim rakia. It's from an unused root meaning to be lofty, the sky, as again we pointed out in the first point, as aloft, the dual perhaps alluding to the visible arch in which the clouds move, as well as to the higher ether where the celestial bodies revolve. Can we talk about the air, astrology? Again, also uses heaven. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1 again with me, and let's look at this again. In Genesis chapter 1, we look at the creation process. Not only did God in the beginning create the heavens and the earth, we talk about the firmament that he made. Then in verse 14 of Genesis chapter 1, we read here, God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. Again, we see reference mentioned on a few different times of the word heaven mentioned here. And again, we talk about the stars, the sky, and how there was the stars, the sun, the moon. These things were set in order by God, and he placed them in the heavens, looking up into the sky. Then again, we look over in the book of Psalm. In Psalm 19, verse 4 and verse 6. Again, we see, just looking at what the Bible says here on these different things. In Psalm 19, verse 4 and verse 6. Psalm 19, verse 4 and also verse 6. It says, "Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And in them he has set a tabernacle for the sun." It's rising, again speaking about the sun, its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. You know, we point out where we talk about the location of the sun. We talk about where the sun is. Their line has gone up from the sun. You set that out, and its rising is from one end of the heaven. It circles to the other end. There's nothing hidden from it. Again, we see the sun rise and set on a daily basis. And where it takes place in the heaven is what we look at this. Into the sky as we look at all these things. Then again, we look over in Matthew chapter 24 in the New Testament. Matthew 24 and verse 29. Matthew chapter 24. In verse 29. Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. Matthew 24, verse 29. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken." Ever seen a shooting star? Falling star? Where's it come from? We look into the sky. Remember, Zach and I were in the truck one night, or late last year, and I think we saw, two or three of them on our way home one night. I was telling the kids all about it and everything. But where do we look? It comes out of the sky as we look at this. And again, Jesus, and he's speaking here. Here it's coming, it looks like it's coming out of the heavens. Again, speaking about the sky, the celestial side, the star, speaking about the sun, the star, the moon, all these different things that are mentioned in the New Testament. And then one more to think about over in Acts chapter 1, verse 9 and verse 10. 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 It says here, again, when Jesus is getting ready to depart from the disciples, from the apostles, it says, "When he spoke in these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." Again, just thinking about this, here are the disciples. They're with Jesus. Jesus is getting ready to depart from them. And here he is. He's taken up by what? By a cloud into the sky. Where were they looking? They were looking into the heavens as we look at all this. Again, just some reference points of how we look at these different things as what Paul was talking about there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2. We can point out, the first thing being an atmosphere as we look at Hebrew and everything is pointing out, and then the second heaven being the stars, some of the celestial side of it. But let's talk about this third one as well. The third heaven, the eternal glory with God and Jesus Christ. Again, we see some of it having some similarity in some of the word. And this word, speaking about this third heaven, speaking of what Paul was mentioning about there in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2, is Shimi Hash Shamimim. That's a tongue twister a little bit. But we look at the eternal glory with God and Jesus Christ. And there is mention of it. There is distinction between all three of these. Let's look over at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. We talk about the third heaven. We talk about the eternal glory with God. There is no different. There is no multiple realms in this. As we look over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Where we point out, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, there's a distinction between the first two that we talked about in this one. We look into the sky, can we physically see it? Yeah. We look at the stars, you can try to look at the sun, it hurts your eyes. Don't recommend doing it. But you can see the moon, you can see the stars, you can see the sun. You can see the skies. But this one is different. We speak about the eternal glory of God. We read, and I want to begin here. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God and Jesus Christ are in the eternal glory. And we are longing to be there with them. We haven't seen this with our own eyes. We have not seen it. We have not smelled the air. We have not felt the air. We have not done anything with this. We have not seen that with our own eyes. The Bible speaks about this heaven. If you go over to Hebrews chapter 8 with me. And Hebrews chapter 8. Let's look at verse 1 there. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, now this is the main point of things we are saying. We have such a high priest, speaking of Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. We see that word heaven mentioned again here. And Christ is seated right now at the right hand of God in the heavens. In this eternal place that we have not physically seen with our own eyes. Then as we continue on with the same thought over in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24. It says here, Hebrews 9 verse 24, for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true. But notice with me, he is into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He is making intercession for us. Christ has entered into heaven itself, the eternal glory, the place that he has went and prepared a place for you and I. In Acts chapter 7, in verse 55, we read about Stephen. Stephen, a man of faith, a man that was preaching the word, a man that had faced opposition in the latter part of his life. After preaching the word, they heard the gospel message. They gnashed their teeth at him. He was there. He was getting ready to be stoned and killed. And it says here in verse 55 of Acts 7, he being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Stephen about to die, knowing what was about to take place. And he goes on to say, I have seen the heavens open up, verse 56, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Again, where is Christ? He is at the right hand of God in the eternal glory, into this eternal place. He's been prepared for us all. Stephen was one that was looking up into the heaven and saw this very thing. I want to look over in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13 as well on this reference. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 13. It says here, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. The eternal glory that God has laid up in store for us through Jesus Christ, as He has went prepared a place for us. He has created a new heaven, a new place for righteousness to dwell. We'll talk about this idea of what Paul was saying there in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2, about this one that was entering into the third heaven. It wasn't different degrees, as I hope we can point out. It wasn't these different degrees of heaven as what some would partake in this idea and in this belief. But there is only one eternal glory. There's only one place. We use heaven to be able to describe some different things. And I hope as we look at this tonight, we have a little bit of a bigger grasp on this, on what's being said. Because sometimes you might deal with a question like this in your time and in your study. Again, Paul mentioning there in verse 2, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And when Paul is talking about that, he's talking about someone that was in the eternal glory. Not a different degree. We should be longing for this place called heaven. The place that we can be able to dwell eternally with God. As we have been studying in John 14 in our Bible class on Sunday mornings, we did this morning or last week, and we continue that study this morning. Jesus has pointed out in the first few verses that He has went and prepared a place for us. A place that we can dress, a place we can dwell, a place that we can be with God eternally. It's in heaven. In this place where Christ is at the right hand of God. I want to look at one more verse. That's found over in Revelation chapter 21. And in Revelation 21, you look at from verse, I'm not going to read all the verses from verse 9 down to verse 27. But from verse 9 down to verse 21, it's trying to give us some sort of physical picture of what heaven will be like. But that's just kind of, we're trying to use the different jewels, the different splendors, the different things that we consider precious. But it's even far more reaching, far more than what's described here in verse 9 down to verse 21. But notice with me, I want to read verse 22 down to verse 27. This is a place that we should all be working for and looking towards. Verse 22 of Revelation 21. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. The nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. The kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. If you notice there with me, there's no need of the sun, no need of the moon, no need of these other lights. The glory of God is sufficient and is enough. We should be longing for this place. Place for the saved, as we read here. A place that we can rest eternally. And rest eternally with God, with Jesus Christ, with those who are saved. And if you're longing for that place tonight, we want to extend the invitation to you to look for this place. to look for the eternal glory of God. If we can help anyone in answering the invitation call tonight, we'll be glad to help you. If you realize that you have not yet obeyed God's word and are ready to do so, and you believe Jesus Christ, Son of God, you're ready and willing to repent of your sins, recognizing what sin does to you, and you're ready to turn from that, and you're ready to confess your belief in Jesus Christ being Son of God, for Christ, you can have your sins washed in the waters of baptism. Maybe tonight you realize that you need to have your soul restored. If that's the case tonight, we want to offer this time to be able to pray for you as you repent of your sins and make your life right with God once again, to look forward to that eternal glory that God's laid in store for us through Jesus Christ. Maybe you need prayer, some encouragement. Facing the difficulties of this life and you need some prayers to be able to help you along the way, we'll be glad to pray for you, glad to help you. You've been very patient with me tonight looking at multiple verses, and I hope as we look at this tonight we can have a better understanding of this verse and hoping to answer this question. If there's anyone that steps in the invitation and you need to make your life right with God or need prayers of encouragement, we'll be glad to assist you, be glad to help you, be glad to pray for you. Have a seat on the front. You can do it now and walk together while we stand and while we sit.
I have decided.